This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
It's the most wonderful time of the week as the holiday season is underway, and we have back with us our dear friend and the founder of the largest online progressive community, and we always have a good time talking about the latest in politics and news and numbers. We'll do it again. Marcos Melissus joins us from the left coast. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Just fine. Just fine. Cold here in New York. I wish I could wear.
not cold here.
Yeah, I know. I know it's wonderful out there. Miami. Oh, is that now? You and I had, I thought, officially retired from Florida analysis and speculation. I remember we said, I mean, we've been saying that for years, like we've told other people, don't get addicted, you know, because once you're addicted, you'd have to go to Florida Analyzers Anonymous, because Florida always breaks our hearts. But you get caught up. But this Miami thing, first of all, are you aware, or can you help us understand, there's Miami and Dade County, there's Florida, that's its own thing.
Horrible thing.
Right. And then, but then Miami-Dade County is kind of its own thing.
Yeah.
Within that own thing, right?
There's a Miami-Dade mayor, and then there's a Miami city mayor.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Now, this was Miami-Dade. Am I right?
Yeah, this was Miami proper. I'm pretty sure it was Miami proper, okay. But it's confusing.
Yeah. So there's not been a Democratic mayor in, what, 30 years?
That was Miami mayor. So 28 years since the last Democrat was elected mayor of Miami City.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay. And so this is Miami City.
Yeah.
So what does this portend? How big of a deal is this?
So as we know, Miami has been quite aggressively moving rightward. And Miami, the city, was always kind of a battleground, even though it's heavily Latino, because it is dominated politically by the Cuban community. And the Cuban community has been staunchly Republican since the Bay of Pigs. So that has made Miami itself proper a sort of a battleground in just historically. On the other side, you have the Haitian community, which is heavily Democratic. You have the Puerto Rican community, which is also Democratic, but very low propensity voters. And then the city's white voters have always been very Republican as well, right? So this is not a typical urban center where it is hostile territory for Republicans. They had plenty of high propensity, high performance voters to draw on. So it's always been kind of competitive, Miami. But we'd never gone through a drought of 30 years without electing a Democrat mayor of Miami. And in fact, 4 years ago, the Republican who won the seat won with 70-some percent of the vote. It's like 72%. We also know that 2 years ago in 2024, Donald Trump won Miami-Dade, the Broward County, for the first time for a Republican ever. And so, and a lot of that was the strength of Latinos flipping, not just the Cuban community, but also the growing Venezuelan community, which is also very Republican because, you know, they Nicaraguans, Venezuelans, Cubans really sort of resonate. They respond to the message that Democrats are communists. And all three of those groups come from nations with communist regimes. And so they don't really understand the nuance and the fact that Democrats aren't communists, but it's a message that resonates with them. And so you've had a growing Nicaraguan, growing Venezuelan communities brought in, keep in mind, brought in by Joe Biden. Joe Biden's the one that gave them temporary protected status and allowed them to stay in the country legally. So these communities all voted for Donald Trump enthusiastically. There's a lot of people who are like, maybe were reluctant, not these groups. They were very, very happy to see Trump win. And what's happened since, we know what's happened since, right? Trump has unleashed ICE onto their communities and eliminated protected status, not just for Nicaraguans and Venezuelans, but also for Cubans. And Cubans have always had preferential treatment and in a way that has been grossly unfair to other immigrant groups. And they're used to being treated like there's something special. And so like Trump comes in and again, eliminates a program that Joe Biden instituted to protect Cuban immigrants and has gotten rid of it. And it started deporting Cubans. So, you know, you and me, we could be like, well, we told you so, right? Why are you surprised this is happening? This is exactly what Trump promised. He had signs at his convention that said mass deportations. So none of this is a surprise. They just thought they were special. And they thought that since they supported Trump, that they'd be treated differently. And as you know, and most people know, the Latino community is not monolithic, right? So there is great differences between the various nationalities and a lot of bigotry, too. And Cubans have always thought themselves above it all, that they were somehow special. They were better than everybody else. And suddenly they're in that same boat. And so there's been a pretty growing, fierce backlash against Trump and his party. Now, we had only seen it in polls. So we knew that Venezuelans had turned heavily against Donald Trump. We knew that Cubans were sliding away. But, you know, a poll is a poll, right? It's not reality. What we saw Tuesday night in Miami was the actual reality. And not only did a Democrat win, but she won with 60% of the vote. That was a dominant performance for a Democrat in a city that just 4 years ago, Republicans won with 70% of the vote.
So does that really say that the state itself could be changed as well?
I mean, you never know. I'm not going to say no right now. I would highly doubt it. I mean, Trump won it by double digits. And there's a lot of crazy white people. Not sure they're still happily supporting Trump. So I'm not sure the numbers are there to make it competitive. I could be wrong. And I haven't, so just to be clear, I haven't done a deep dive into the data and I haven't seen anybody else who has. I would not bank on that. But what this shows, right, though, this is relevant, right? This is relevant because Latinos swung pretty heavily towards Trump in 2024. Now, Trump didn't win them, but he got 46% of the vote per the exit polls, 46% of the Latino vote, when typically Republicans get about 30%, 30, 35%. So he had like a 20-point gain amongst Latinos. And that has consequences in states like Arizona, Texas, Colorado, and even tight races in places like Ohio. So in Wisconsin and Michigan. So what we're seeing in Florida is that if the most staunchest Republican Latino group is turning on Trump and the Republican Party. That's Cubans. If they are turning on Trump, I don't know, that's bad news for Republicans nationwide. Anywhere that there's a significant Latino community, that's bad news for Republicans. So that's what I'm more excited about. Florida, you know, it's nice to have Florida, you know, Miami mayor, like they deserve a Democratic mayor. The state itself is a tough state, but there are Latinos all across the country in battleground districts and states, you know, like Georgia too, North Carolina. If we have Latinos motivated and angry and this deeply committed to turning out and punishing Republicans, what is already a difficult year for Republicans next year is going to be that much worse for them.
Yeah, yeah. That is something to be obviously very, very concerned about. Now,
we're celebrating that.
For him to be concerned about, no, we are concerned. That's a good thing, hopefully, and it makes sense. And it always, I mean, I think we would agree it always should have. There were always a thinking that historically disadvantaged or discriminated against quote unquote minority groups, even though people of color are becoming the majority if they aren't already, should be on somewhat of the same page. But you're right, with the politics for many back home being politics being what it is, then, you know, they believe Democrats are communists and, you know, but there's also an irony in that too, or paradox. You know, Trump is a strong man.
Yeah.
And many people are fleeing that strong man form of government in Central America and Southern America. So that never quite added up. But then I think the bottom line is this. If you're coming from a place of desperation, no matter what somebody's doing here, it's better than where you came from.
Yeah.
And so I get it. But alas, though, I wanted to share this with people. And I probably texted this to you, but you and I didn't get a chance to talk about it much in advance. There's the Pew Research poll, and Pew does some pretty good stuff. Mm-hmm. It tends to be very objective. Majority of Latinos disapprove of Trump and his policies on immigration. I'm going to get this up for those of you watching with the family at home. Let me see what I can do about getting this up on the screen, because I think we need to take a look at that, because it is quite telling in terms of what the Latino community or Latinx, I don't think people like say that anymore, but
no, please no.
Latinx, but is Latino okay? Is that?
Yeah, yeah, no, that's Latino or Hispanic. Both are
still
Hispanic okay. Is used in the East Coast. So your corner of the world is more Hispanic. Latinos used more in the West Coast. They're both interchangeably acceptable.
Okay. All right. So what I'm going to try to do, I'm going to get this up on the screen and hopefully everybody can see that. Majority of Latinos disapprove of Trump and his policies on immigration economy. Marcos, can you see that?
Yes.
About 4 in 5 say Trump's policies harm Hispanics a higher share than during his first term. So I want to just scroll here. This is a poll. This gives you some of the results of the poll right here. Latinos have mostly negative views of Trump's job performance, his immigration and economic policy.
70% disapprove. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. 55% very strongly disapprove.
Yeah.
65 for the approach to immigration. 65% disapprove of the approach to immigration too, folks. So this is not a small thing. And I mean, why? It's almost like he's playing in people's faces. You know, I know you supported me, but I'm going to lock up all your family members. Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Yes, so I care. He's not running for re-election. What's he care?
Right. Well, we don't know about that either. I mean, he may not be running, but we don't think he's leaving either. So we'll see.
Well, either way, he doesn't care, right? Like, public.
Right, because he's just going to stay, right? He didn't need votes. According to him, he didn't need votes last November, as a matter of fact. Remember, he said that.
Yeah.
And I raised that question on TikTok and TikTok banned me. But okay, that's another show. Trump's economic policies have made economic conditions 61% say worse. All right.
So that's the reason he won this community. This is the reason he won Latinos, right? Because he promised to lower prices on day one. And those of us who are more sophisticated political consumers know that that was a nonsense claim, that it was just literally impossible. Nobody could just walk in on day one and lower prices, right? It's literally impossible. You could have said things like, I will fight to lower prices on day one. You could say stuff like that, but that's not what he did, right? Because Trump being Trump, he just makes shit up. And so he came in, said he was going to lower prices on day one. And inflation's up, Mark. Like, it is up. And it is up for reasons that Trump has created artificially. The tariffs and the mass deportations, both are inflationary policies. So these are people who, out of desperation, voted for somebody they knew to be a bigot. But you know what? When you are destitute and you need to feed your family, you're less concerned about somebody being a strong man. You're less concerned about, you know, freedom of the press, or like, feeding your family is the most important thing. And when prices are high and you live on that economic edge, if the price of bananas goes up, you can't like absorb that, right? Like, some, either you can't buy the bananas or something else comes out of that shopping cart. And that's been the challenge that Trump faces now, is that he made these very lofty promises on the economy with zero interest or concern, or like, he just never intended to really do anything about it, right? He just said what he needed to do to get elected, because that protected him from all the lawsuits and from going to jail, and mission accomplished. And at this point, he's playing with house money. He doesn't care about these people. And they're starting to realize that. And that's why, not just with Latinos, where Trump's numbers are collapsing, but also with everybody. He's got the lowest numbers of either presidency right now with all the major polls, you know, the Gallup and Pew and all these polls. So the American public is souring. They're not happy with what they're seeing. Trump is sitting there like putting pressure on Paramount to do a new buddy cop movie instead of actually doing things at a lower prices. There was a meeting today of the House Republican caucus on healthcare. And it came out in the big quote, I don't know if you saw, Mark, but one of them said, we found broad consensus that we have to do something about healthcare. Right? They have no clue what they're doing. Their people, we've talked about this, their people will be disproportionately affected by the elimination of healthcare subsidies. They're floundering. They don't know what to do. They're the dog that caught the tire, you know, the car, and you know, they're absolutely getting trampled. They're getting crushed in elections. I mean, we just saw what, a 80 point swing in that Miami, Florida race from the Republicans last time to Democrat this time. We have seen time and time again in both special elections and regular elections where Democrats are overperforming Republican numbers from 2024 by double digits. We're looking at a massive, massive blue wave next year. And doesn't mean only the House. All that redistricting stuff they're trying, not going to even come close to saving their bacon in the House. They're right now looking at a 40-50 seat minority if these numbers hold up. And I'm not even saying 13-point swing. I'm saying like 6-7-point swing. You're looking at a 30-40 Republican seat minority. And we're at the point now where we can take the Senate. If these margins hold, we'll take the Senate comfortably. So that is Armageddon for the Republican Party. And they don't know what to do. And some of them are starting to try to distance themselves from Trump. Like, oh, he shouldn't be blowing up fishing vessels outside of Venezuela. No, he should be doing that. Congratulations on a hint of a spine. Some of them are like, oh, well, you know, the Epstein files, maybe we should release those. So they're trying to find ways that then they can next year say, like, I'm not fully aligned with Trump. I mean, that's just where it's going.
Right.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, everything. every style, every home.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your cachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of cachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS.
Mark, right. Next year's going to be fun for us.
We're
going to be winning elections, special elections in a run-up. Republicans are going to be in mass disarray. Trump is going to be screaming his head off, threatening more Republicans. I mean, there was a story a couple of weeks ago in Not Us that said that Republicans are fully expecting a rash of retirements, early retirements, and that there's a real possibility that Democrats take control of the House before the year is over. Now, I don't think that's likely, but it is within the realm. And every time a Republican slightly disagrees with Trump, he goes off the rails and attacks him. Mm-hmm. So, like, people are like, well, screw this crap. Like, MTG, like, I'm tapping out of this crap. And some of these people will be in districts that are competitive, and it's going to be an issue for the GOP. So I'm looking forward to next year. It's going to be politically fun. I mean, we still have Trump as the president, so it's not going to be real life fun, right? But at least we're going to be on the offensive. They're going to be on their back heels. They already are on their back heels. And that's what Miami taught us is that it's not just, you know, because there's been after November's elections, we're like, oh, or Virginia and New Jersey, they're blue states. It doesn't matter. You know, we looked at the margins. Of course it mattered, right? But that was their spin. No, Miami's not a blue city. It's not even close. 28 years, it was run by Republicans. So this is something bigger. We're seeing it with young voters who voted for Trump because of, I don't know, vibes or TikTok or something. Like, they lived through Trump's first term. Now they're realizing what Trump is really all about. They ain't happy with that.
Right.
And right. You're seeing a backlash with now we see this big backlash with Latina voters, which again can have an impact in the Texas Senate race. It'll have an impact in Arizona in holding that seat. It'll have an impact in Georgia in holding Ossoff's seat. And it can have an impact in states like Ohio, where we have a chance to get that seat back for Sherrod Brown. So this is important stuff. North Carolina is another one. So the trends are moving, and it sucks that we have to be there, Mark. You and I, and probably everybody watching this show, probably all like, we told you so. What did you expect?
Right.
But at least there's some vindication in people realizing that they screwed up and that they're going to do differently. And I was just talking to somebody who's really plugged in politically in North Carolina. And she was saying that she's been traveling in rural districts and people are They're pissed. They're pissed about the tariffs. They're pissed about Epstein. These are Republican areas. And so I said, I'm like, they're not going to vote Democrat, though, are they? And she's like, oh, hell no. They're never vote Democrat. They're just not going to vote. And that's what we need to get back to, where the deplorable Trump base, that MAGA deplorable base, just stays home. Like, yeah, politics ain't for you. You clearly understand what's going on. You got involved. You hurt yourself.
Right, right.
Literally hurt yourself. You've got nothing. Oh, some trans kid can't swim in halfway across the country. How's that make your life any better? Congratulations. You hated on some trans kid. Now what? Now you've lost your health care. Congratulations. You've lost your food bank assistance. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Tariffs are decimating your neighbors. You did it. You did it. And for all the hate you sent to Joe Biden and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris, none of them were going to take away your health care. In fact, they gave you health care.
Right.
Congratulations.
Right. So you did it to yourself.
You did it to yourself. So, yeah, go back. Since you clearly can't make a good voting choice, just don't vote. And you'll be better off. You literally will be better off if you don't vote.
right. That's interesting. Literally. Well, yeah. That's an interesting perspective. And folks, we're not doing voter suppression here. What Marcos is saying, that, you know, you if you can't help yourself, don't make your situation worse than what it already is, folks. I think that's the point. I just want to lift up just a little bit more of this. And folks, you can go to pewresearch.org and see this. Trump's approval rating has declined among Latinos, including his 2024 voters, from 93 to 81. You can see that on the graph in red. There's that fact. Sharp increase in share who say U.S. Hispanic situation has worsened. All right. That jumped 26% in 2021. It's up to 68% now. All right. And you've got this small handful to say is better, but it's very... right. Well, and let's be real, y'all. And we were talking about this too before, as much as I hate to say it, some people think that by saying, or let me put it another way, telling lies in polls.
Yeah.
Because if you already think somebody's watching you and coming for you, you do everything you can to keep them from coming for you. So you agree with everything. Oh, he's great. Maybe his ICE won't come get me now. Or maybe my family won't be deported. A lot of people think that way.
Well, right? there's also deep partisanship where you're just going to support your guy no matter what.
Well, that too, of course. Yeah. Latino Trump and Harris voters split in views of Hispanic situation, Trump's impact, and their place in America.
For
the Trump voters, fewer think it's worse, 31%.
But Mark, that is actually quite significant because of that partisan effect. Usually people will be like, no, because they don't want to admit that their vote was wrong. People do not like admitting that they're wrong. So to say, yeah, things are worse now, is basically like cutting off your arms. Like, yeah, I screwed that up. So 31% is actually quite significant.
Compared with 1 year ago.
And
Trump
and that might actually line up with the people that weren't Republicans who voted for Trump, right? Because remember, he gained about 20 points amongst Latina voters. And I think he surrendered the 20 points and then lost another 10%, if I'm reading this data.
That's a third. And also a third, 34%, the Trump policies have been harmful to Hispanics.
Yeah.
With Donald Trump as president, they have or have serious concerns about their place in the U.S. 11% for Trump voters now, and 64% for Harris voters. Still a large number of the Trump voters are confident about their place in the United States. About one in three Hispanics has struggled with utilities, food, medical care, and housing affordability. Percent of U.S. Hispanic adults who say they've had trouble paying for each of the following in the past year. 36 energy, 35 food, 30 medical care, 30 rent or mortgage, 30%, 25% daily transportation costs, 23% child care. So this is hitting them. So So this is telling and eye-opening, and it should make a difference. Now, you've not said this. This is the first time I've heard you say, I think, you feel like we might have a shot at the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, it was always in the realm of possibility, but it's starting to become, at this point, I'd say it's almost 50-50. It's a difficult map. It's an uphill slog. But it's not sounding crazy anymore. North Carolina, Ohio. Texas is still tough. Florida is still tough. Oh, Maine. So you got Maine, North Carolina, Ohio. That can get us to 50-50. And it's starting Montana, Nebraska, Iowa. Those are states that have been tougher Democrats because it's farm country, right? They're rural states. But they're the ones most affected by Trump's tariffs and mass deportations and even loss of food assistance and health care. So Democrats are feeling really confident about their chances in Iowa all of a sudden. And we have independent candidates in Nebraska and Montana. Not announced yet in Montana, but I'm hearing buzz about an independent candidate in Nebraska that would caucus with the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And there's always this threat of Murkowski changing parties. I mean, she's been very, very coy as of late. So if the Democrats took control of the chamber, I think it's a 50-50 chance she just switches parties, becomes an independent, but ends up caucusing with the Democrats because she's been increasingly unhappy with Republicans. So there is now a way to get there. And in some future episode, we should talk about the rise of the independent candidate in the out in the Midwest, because it's actually a fascinating story. And it might really shake up politics in a good way, but I don't think we have time today. But yeah, no, like the Senate is finally, it's in play. And Republicans, you may see some retirements that are not expected. I mean, I think Johnny Ernst in Iowa retiring was an early indication of the challenges and difficulties she was going to face in running for re-election. And remember, she decided to retire after a town hall where she totally screwed the pooch. Where how is it that she said? It was basically people asking about losing her health care, and she wasn't completely callous about it and got tons of terrible press for it. Do you remember? God, what was it that she said?
Yeah.
Oh, we're all going to die. Remember?
That's right. That's right. She did. Yes, right. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We're all going to die.
Yeah, oh, God. Yes.
And yeah, her heart wasn't into defending. How do you defend loss of health care, right? Well, we're all going to die anyway. Yeah. Okay. Good luck with that.
It is what it is, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be tough for a lot of these Republicans in those states that are so heavily affected by Trump policies to defend. And you can scream about trans people all you want. If people can't afford their groceries, and that's the reality in a lot of these places. If you can't afford your groceries, suddenly that stuff starts, the culture war stuff starts sounding really hollow.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's true. Well, it ought to, because allegedly that was the reason Biden lost groceries. So can't vote one guy out because of groceries and then have a problem with the other guy because of groceries. Probably won't get a chance to vote him out because he's not leaving. Because
Trump knows they're in trouble, right? Because, he had that disastrous Oval Office thing where he was saying that affordability was a hoax. It's a hoax, right? It's a hoax. Then a week later, he goes on the Trump affordability president tour, right? Like, so suddenly it's not a hoax anymore. But he goes on this tour, and in the first stop, which is in a small ballroom, like he's not drawing big crowds anymore, in a small ballroom, he basically says, no, everybody has to learn to live with less. You don't need 30 dolls. You can have 3 dolls. You can have 3 presidents. You don't need pencils. You don't need 30 pencils. That's what he's saying. He's like, let them eat cake. So if you're a Republican, you're going, he's supposed to be going out there talking about affordability and trying to retake the word from Democrats, who, thanks to Mamdani, like, affordability is the Democratic position right now, right? It's the only thing everybody's running on. That's what Zoran gave us politically. It's a gift. It's a treasure. It's what it is. Trump can't even, like, hold it together. He can't even go out there and talk about affordability. He's just basically saying, no, y'all got too much stuff anyway. You need less. Like, please keep that up. You're going to see them. They're going to muzzle him. They're going to be like, yeah, stay home. Like, go play golf.
Right.
Please. No, don't talk. No, don't say anything. Because it's a gift. Every time he does that, it's a gift for Democrats. And he can't help himself.
So Christmas, in that case, Christmas has come early, y'all, prayerfully. And that we will see this continue to manifest and see good news. I don't have all the names. Some of them are unconfirmed. But right now, and many of you have heard about Jasmine Crockett. But there will may very well be 7 Black women running for Senate.
Damn.
Which is a good thing. So we will see what comes of that. And hopefully everyone on all sides, as much as possible, is on the same page. We can't. It really kind of got started with the guy who ran for mayor in New York a few years ago. The rent is too damn high. And that was like a meme. But then it soaked in. You know what? Dude's crazy, but he got a point. And ever since then, this is the first election cycle in 24 where it was most pronounced. And now it's still pronounced. And according to Pew, that's the bottom line for a population that Trump is literally targeting every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, electoral politics is about math. It's a science. It's really not an emotion. So if you're hurting people in their pocket and then trying to round up their family members every day and pitting them against each other.
Mark, I'm even seeing evidence of white rural people disgusted by the roundups, because these are people that work their fields and that are basically keep their communities economically alive. And so you get a lot of stories of, like, why are they deporting the woman who's run the coffee shop for 30 years, who's done nothing wrong? And they're angry about this, that the cruelty of it, because everybody really bought into the notion that he was just going to get rid of criminals. Now, we know that to him, just crossing the border made you a criminal. So every immigrant is a criminal in the eyes of Trump and Stephen Miller and the Republican Party writ large. But that's not how people heard it, right? They heard, like, we're going to get rid of criminals, which is non-controversial. Everybody gets rid of freaking immigrant criminals, right? It's just, but that's what they thought Trump was saying. And there is a disgust and backlash. And if you look at the polling on the mass deportations, it's brutal across the line. And I've seen polling with 30-40% of Republicans not happy with that. And I believe that 30-40%, I would almost guarantee it. I would bet my children on it that it's people who are actually directly know some of these immigrants affected. So it's going to be a lot of rural white Republicans. And this is why I don't think they're going to vote Democrats, because I still see them in forums, online forums, where, like, what was I supposed to do? Vote for Harris? Well, yeah. But if they just tap out and say, like, well, they both suck, which is really what they're coming to now. Everybody sucks, because they can't admit that they're so wrong that they picked the wrong candidate. Yeah. Right. So they have to be like, Trump wasn't who he said he was. He's not doing what he promised to do. It's all cognitive dissonance. He's doing exactly what he promised. But that's how they can talk themselves into being able to say, yeah, Trump sucks, because that's not who I voted for. So they're, like, really wanting to tap out. And I think that is best case scenario for America, is that if you can't at least vote your own interest and, you know, vote for a kinder, better, saner America, and one that protects your own economic interests, like, let other people who are paying attention do the voting. Like, that's not voter suppression. Nobody's going in and saying, like, how do we block them from voting? They're suppressing themselves out of their own stupidity and vote choice.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Marcos, Melissa's folks, Thursday Coast as always. Why Miami is the bellwether of the anti-Trump backlash.
Yes.
Also go to dailycoast.com. We're learning a lot here. And these past few specials have been good. We even talked about last week, Afton Bain really was not a loss. okay, so, but this is a victory in Miami, straight up and down. Let's see where it goes. Marcos, as always, thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much. Catch you next week.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.